dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing about the war for the free world. One of the most astute analysts, observers, commentators on that war, and indeed a participant in it in previous times, is our first guest, K.T. McFarlane. You see her with great regularity now, I'm pleased to say, at Fox News. She is also a go-to person on these sorts of issues for us and a great many others in the country. And K.T., it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I think this is the first time in 2014, so Happy New Year on top of everything
else. Happy New Year to you, too.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us. So tonight is the State of the Union Address. I'd like to get K.T. McFarlane's assessment of the State of the Union.
Frank, you and I have written these speeches before. We've written the defense parts of them when we were in the Reagan administration. And what the president's going to do now, he's now at the point in his presidency where he's looking for his legacy. And the legacy, which he was hoping to talk about tonight, was things like the great success of Obamacare, his transformation of America. But that's not going real well. So he's going to do what presidents before him have done, and he's going to look abroad to try to claim credit there, look for a new legacy. So I think what he'll talk about tonight is his legacy on ending two wars, Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, never mind the fact that he's lost two wars, and that's how he's ended them, but he'll claim them as great success. The other thing he'll claim as a great success is the negotiations with Iran. Now, the fact that he was played over Iran and that Iran is going to get the one thing that it was meant, this agreement was meant to stop happening. Iran is going to become now a threshold nuclear power thanks to this agreement. Iran will probably, as a result, stimulate a nuclear arms race in the Middle East as a result of this agreement. But never mind. President Obama will probably say something like, give peace a chance.
Or more to the point, he will actually assert, as he has in the past, as you know, KT, that he has stopped the Iranian nuclear weapons program. I find there's no basis for saying that, but I suspect there'll be some of that in the mix, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know,
I call this national security fraud. Don't you think we might start talking that up a bit?
You know, but I understand presidents wanting to get away with fraud. The thing that I find the most upsetting is the mainstream media behaving like lapdogs or trained seals, you know, applauding at cue. And that's why I think what you do is so important. You and others do is so important to just hold the truth to power.
Well, thank you. And needless to say, what you're doing at Fox as well. KT, one of the presidents you served, in addition to our boss, Ronald Reagan, of course, was Richard Nixon. And I'm just reminded, I spoke with Monica Crowley about this recently, who served with him after he left the presidency. You actually were working for him when he was in the White House. What do we make of the criticisms of Richard Nixon back in the day as the imperial president? And as you say, the seeming pass from the press, from certainly the Democrats, but even a lot of Republicans that this president seems to be getting when his imperialistic presidency, you know, makes Richard Nixon look like, you know, one of the founding fathers.
The one example I think is most telling is Richard Nixon during Watergate and the period of Watergate. He took the pressure of the people and the populace and the press, and he created a special prosecutor to prosecute and investigate himself. And when that special independent prosecutor came up with some not very flattering and potentially legally actionable information about the Nixon White House, he then fired them. But the point is that Nixon felt that it was necessary to investigate himself. Now, look at all the abuses that have happened in this administration, whether it's the IRS persecuting conservative groups, whether it's the IRS going after the Hollywood conservatives, whether it's the Justice Department indicting somebody who makes a movie against Obama, whether it's the continuous overreach by this administration of everything from going after reporters who write negative stories and wiretapping them and accusing them of traitorous activities. Besides the fact that they're overreaching and not bothering with Congress, and they're going around Congress to sign a series of executive orders to usurp the powers of Congress. The fact that nobody has even called for a special prosecutor other than a few so-called fringe Republicans, and that there is no likelihood that this Justice Department will ever investigate itself, whether it's on Benghazi or IRS overreach or even Obamacare lies, where the president said, if you like it, you can keep it.
Yeah, serial fraud, as our friend Andy McCarthy calls it. This is so troubling because I think particularly, KT, as you follow so closely what is our role in the world and our position in the world, for that matter, the combination of this kind of domestic overreach and, well, maybe underreach is the word for it, abroad, the declining power of the United States, certainly the declining prestige, and the kind of environment, international environment, strategic environment that that is generating, it has to be, you know, the real legacy of this administration. And I'm musing that what we're going to hear about tonight is kind of the state of the transformation, the fundamental transformation of the United States. But just talk a little bit more, if you would, KT, about how this is being perceived elsewhere and how those perceptions are likely to translate into future security conditions for the American people.
Well, there's a fundamental transformation Obama's bringing about in American foreign policy, too. And it's, you know, the idea that leading from behind, well, leading from behind has consequences. And the consequences has created a power vacuum up front, and others are rushing to fill it. For example, the perception is we're leaving the entire Middle East. As I said earlier, Afghanistan and Iraq, we're leaving those wars, but we've lost those wars. We've ceded power to Iran because we'll allow Iran now to become a threshold nuclear state. The Iranian economy is on the verge of booming. I even got a notice yesterday from a law firm to its clients, business clients, corporate clients, saying, here's how you can do business in Iran now that sanctions are up. Those sanctions are never going back down. And so Iran is going to have an economic boom to become the most powerful military power in the region, economic power in the region, and political power in the region, and the biggest world state sponsor of terrorism. And it's all going to be done with America's blessing. So we're leading...
And funds, to some extent, it appears.
Yeah.
The support we're providing, at least through releasing funds that have been withheld, right?
Oh, but that's just the beginning.
Yeah, no,
because the economy, the economic pent-up demand to do business with Iran will just make the Iranian economy boom. So it will now become the alpha dog of the Middle East. Now, why does that matter to us? Who cares, right? They've been fighting since the book of Genesis in that part of the world. What matters to us in real economic terms, which is that's where we get our oil. That's where we get the world's energy. It matters to us because of the state of Israel. This is the first president who's had relations with Israel, which really call into doubt the whole commitment of the United States to the future of Israel. We could go talk about Russia. At every given opportunity, President Putin of Russia sort of rubs Obama's face in the mud. And Obama willingly lets it happen and says, oh, no, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You almost look at Putin and say, he's thinking, I wish I had a more worthy opponent. Where's Richard Nixon when I need him?
Yeah, as you know, KT, what Putin's really rubbing in the mud is not just Obama's face. It's ours. It's our national position. Let me quickly, KT, I know we're going to have to wrap up momentarily, but quickly talk a little bit about your insights from a trip you took late last year to Egypt. We're going to be talking with Raymond Stock in the next section, and he's deeply knowledgeable about this, but I'd love to get your take on what you think is happening there with Sisi and the Constitution and so on.
Well, it's a country that American foreign policy has played ping pong with. You know, we've had one position, we've had another position, a third position, a fourth position, a fifth position. As a result, the Egyptians don't trust us, so we're in a very poor position to influence events there. But what's happened in Egypt is they've had 3 years of more or less chaotic rule, and while many in the West think, well, it's all about democracy and what kind of a constitution they have, yeah, that's important, but the real issue in Egypt is the economy. And if they don't fix that, if they don't have the political stability that's required as a foundation to have an economic growth period, then I think Egypt could well descend in the kind of chaos that you see in Pakistan. That's why I'm all for General al-Sisi running for president. I think he's the only man who can ask the great sacrifices that a political leader is going to have to ask of the Egyptian people. And I spent 2.5 hours with him in a private meeting, and I was very impressed with him. Not only does he understand the clock is ticking on Egypt's economy, but he understands the threat that Al-Qaeda and Islamist terrorists, not Islamists, because he's a very devout religious man himself, but that the Islamist present, the Muslim Brotherhood present to Egypt. As he said, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is Al-Qaeda, and it is.
It is indeed. KT, so much more to talk about, so little time, but we appreciate you giving us this time. We'll look forward to a return visit soon. In the meantime, keep up the terrific work you do with DEF CON and your other programmatic activities at Fox News, and please do come back to us soon. Next up, as promised, Raymond Stock will talk with us more about Egypt and what it means for you. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.